Hey guys, I really like, you guys know me. I like geeky stuff. I like comic books.
What?
Oh yeah, movies, pop culture stuff, video games.
Not what? You.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Say it ain't so.
I know, but you know what the problem I have? I have a problem finding out how to get this stuff. Maybe like on a regular monthly basis, maybe?
If only there was some sort of...
like a service or
like
something.
Like a monthly subscription box.
Yeah.
That would fuel your geek needs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's a good word to use.
I got $1 million idea, guys.
What's that?
Thanks.
It's a monthly subscription box called Geek Fuel.
What?
And where would you get that at?
Geekfuel.com/all of my issues.
Yes.
All right. Well, my mind is blown right now. So
I'll give you $3 off.
$3
right now.
Whoa! You are blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, keep it up.
I don't know what to say. My world is upside down.
You had me at $3 off.
Yeah.
You had me at Geek Fuel.
At Geek Fuel, monthly subscription box full of awesome.
Buy it now.
Hello to all my friends, is at all of my issues. It's-a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo! Oh yeah, number one. Ho ho! Wait to say it, bro. Here we go. Woohoo!
Internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 28, we talk about the best movie sequels. All right, so without further ado, let's get started. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
And on today's episode, we are going to talk about the best movie sequels. So, you know, that's basically the criteria for this episode. And I guess we'll go ahead.
Kind of in honor of John Wick 2 and Lego Batman.
There you go. There you go. Bunch of sequels coming out. That sounds good. Nice segue there, Chris.
Yeah. 50 Shades of...
Darker Shades It's eventually just going to go black.
That's right.
Yeah.
Always been on black.
There you go.
Oh, man.
All right. So I guess we'll get started.
All right. I'm going to go with number 5. When we were doing this list, we were basically looking at, you know, the best sequels that basically were better than their than the original as far as like gross wise, because you know, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, I love Grown Ups 2. But when it's not on this list because when I looked at it, surprisingly, Grown Ups grossed more than Grown Ups 2, so it was like, I liked it better than Grown Ups, but it didn't make my list. So, starting at number 5 on the top 5 sequels is Mad Max 2 Road Warrior. Came out in 1982. The original was Mad Max. That came out in 1979. Mad Max, as you know, if you don't know, stars Mel Gibson as the lead character of Mad Max. This was before Tom Hardy became Mad Max on the Glory Road. Is that
Fury Road?
Fury Road.
So, Mad Max, the original, the budget was $200,000. It grossed $8.7 million. in the United States.
Not a bad return on investment.
Not yeah, bad.
Exactly.
So when Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior came out, budget was a little bigger budget, $2 million, and it grossed $9 million in the United States. So, a little quick synopsis. Mad Max, he's done being a cop in the post-apocalyptic world, so he's just driving around, and he runs into a group of people who are trying to salvage gasoline. And they're being attacked by a malicious biker gang. Those of you who remember the movie, you probably remember the part where a little boy who had like kind of like a claw glove, animal glove, and had this like boomerang, this blade boomerang, and when he threw it, it cut through anything and everything. And so
it's like a feral child.
Yeah, it's like a feral child. Yeah. So it was kind of like the little boy from the Thornbirds, if you remember that Nickelodeon cartoon.
I don't know if I remember
the
that.
The Wild one. Thornbergs?
Thornberries.
Thornberries.
The Thornbirds is like...
Thornberries.
This old made-for-TV movie that, like, I forget who it was, played a priest who was romantically involved with someone, and it was... I'm going deep cuts here.
Yes. Wow. So, there you go.
I think both of those I've never seen. I don't know.
So, my number five is Mad Max 2. The Road Warrior.
All right.
Okay.
That's a good number one or number five.
That's number five. Number
sorry. Five. Yeah. We go the other way.
We go the other way.
That's whoa. Whoa.
That's whatever floats your boat.
That's okay. Right. That's right.
Number five.
We don't judge.
My number five. This might be the only time I've actually bring budget into it, just because I found this interesting. My number five is a sequel, in a way, to a 1986 movie called Manhunter.
Mm-hmm.
And my sequel is Silence of the Lambs. It's loosely a sequel. It has some of the same characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's from 1991. It had a $19 million budget and grossed $272 million worldwide.
Woo!
Managed to get Oscars in all top five categories. Kind of ran the board there for Anthony Hopkins, Jodie Foster, Jonathan Demme, et cetera, et cetera. And I think most people have probably seen this, but for those who haven't, it's Jodie Foster is basically an FBI cadet on the search for a serial killer who's kidnapping girls, and mysteriously, they don't know why exactly, but is taking parts of their skin.
Yeah.
And it...
Buffalo
Bill.
Bill. Bill. I knew it was Buffalo.
Because he skins his humps.
That's
the bad joke the FBI people make there. So if you've seen Manhunter, which features Gil Grissom himself from CSI in search for a different serial killer, but he also seeks out Hannibal Lecter for advice on that. Hannibal Lecter played by Brian Cox in the original, and then played by Anthony Hopkins differently in the. It's a really good movie, and I like it. Kind of gave birth, well, I didn't give birth to, but it kind of made serial killer stuff popular in the 90s, and it was everywhere. And so I enjoyed it a lot. Ted Levine as Buffalo Bill.
Yes, yes.
Just wonderful in that
role. Put the lotion in the basket.
Give back my dog. A great performance.
And the tuck scene.
The tuck scene changed the way that not that you hear it much in references other than that, but that song by Q Lazarus, Goodbye Horses.
Yeah.
You can't hear it without
and then
wanting
Jay
to dance in front of the mirror.
Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, yeah.
They redid that. Scene. Was it in Jane Silent Bob Strikes Back? Is that what
it was in Clerks 2.
Clerks 2, okay. Yeah. I remember them redoing that. I was like, oh man. So as soon as you heard the music, you knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I would say, in my opinion, it's an always superior to the original.
Yeah, I would agree. And in fact, when I first saw Silence of the Lambs, I didn't even realize that there was, like, loosely a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but, Yeah, because I watched Manhunter years later.
It's very weird. It's and it's very,
very 80s. Yes, yeah. The synth music. It's like, because I think it's even, what is it, Michael Mann?
Yep.
That does, yeah, does, yep, does the soundtrack. And yeah. That's the best part, too.
Yeah, and then they remade Manhunter as Red Dragon.
That's right, they did. With
Ed Norton in the role.
That's right. And then who's the character? Is it Ralph Fiennes?
That plays? Yeah, Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. It was good. They were both good movies on their own, but they don't hold a candle to Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And then Hannibal, the movie.
Do we speak of that?
Yeah.
Maybe when we get to the worst sequels.
Yeah. So we'll revisit that one.
Ray Liotta. That's all we got to say.
Yeah, ooh. All right. Anything else? All right. I guess we'll go on to my number five. My number five is also a sequel, because that's what we're doing. The mine is a sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Dawn of the Dead. Originally, I'm talking about the 1979 version.
Mm-hmm.
When it was originally made, the estimated budget was $650,000. So... yeah, 1979 filmmaking was a little bit different, apparently.
Yeah.
But the basic premise of that, it's kind of a commentary on consumerism done by George Romero, where pretty much the entire movie takes place inside of a mall. And the zombies inside of the mall kind of almost behave like...
like they're going through the motions.
Exactly. They're just going through the motions. They're still riding the escalators. They're still just kind of walking through the mall. As if nothing really has changed except they're undead. So, I really enjoyed this movie. This might be a twofer. So, like this was a sequel that was kind of remade later on by somebody who may be somewhat familiar now once you mention their name, and that's James Gunn. Mm. Famous for Guardians of the Galaxy and some other movies. He did that. And actually the film he did Slither. Slither was also very good. And also the film is actually directed by Zack Snyder, excuse me, who's kind of known for doing 300, Watchmen, one of the Man of Steel, not so bad as far as takes of Superman go, but so he did that.
I liked the remake.
I liked it a lot, too. In fact...
I will say I went and saw it in the theater, and I was very disturbed by the family in front of us.
Oh.
They were all the way down to about a four-year-old.
Oh, wow.
That would be kind of disturbing.
Yeah, that's how I messed up.
Because I think the newer one, the 2004 one, is probably a little bit more disturbing, I think, than the original one. Just because of a couple sequences, the one involving the baby.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, a little bit like, oh, they went there.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty nice now that that's the dad from
Modern Family.
Yeah. That is true.
Phil Duffy.
I like to rewatch it now and just picture that it's actually Phil Duffy in that role.
And
that is a movie I would like to see.
That would be kind of
Modern Family in the zombie apocalypse. Yeah. I would love that.
Inside of a mall. I do think, in a way, maybe the 2004 one, because George Romero still has a writing credit on that film as well. I think it might be a little bit more of an entertaining film, just because of, you know, there's a little bit more that they can do with it. In fact, the budget was a lot more.
Yeah.
Here, the estimated budget was $26
million,
as opposed to being thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's $26 million. And they made that money back and then some the opening weekend of the film. And there's an estimated gross of $58 million for that film.
Wow.
So they did pretty well with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do find the film, both films, very entertaining, probably for different reasons. The 2004 one is, like we said, more of a fun movie, I think.
Yeah.
You know, less of a commentary on society as the original one. So, I guess I like them for different reasons. But for this one, I'm going to go with the 1979 original.
I do think that I feel like the 1979 one is a... a better
film.
Zombie movie.
Yeah, it's a better zombie.
The newer movie. One is maybe has a couple more scares and is I don't know, less it's less commentary, but it's more tongue in cheek, I guess. And more I don't know. They do weird things in it and the zombies are quick.
Yeah, they are they are quicker. Yes, that's
and
for
so
sure.
it's a different style of
zombie. Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of the quick zombies.
I'm hit or miss on them. It just depends on what.
I'm same with Chris. I'm hit or miss. Like if they did it like, well, technically 28 Days Later isn't a zombie.
Yeah, that's not a straight up zombie.
Train to Busan or whatever that is I did watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Fast zombies.
Fast zombies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy fast zombies.
Really?
Crazy movie.
See, I've always thought of it this way, like. When they first become a zombie, okay, maybe I can see them being fast, but then as they start deteriorating,
sure.
Yeah. Maybe slow down. I don't know.
It's kind of like The Walking Dead. I just didn't understand, like, World War Z, where they're, like, just climbing up and building, like, a wall to climb up
I pretty much didn't understand World War Z at all, because, I mean, it's definitely not like the books at all.
Oh, the book is so good.
It is. And it's,
I would love to see it, but you couldn't do a movie like that. You need you almost need a miniseries. I would love to see, like, an HBO show that did that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, Internet, HBO, if you're listening,
World War
make
Z.
That happen.
Only don't call it World War Z now, because people will confuse it with your...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a couple books he has out, though. He has World War Z, and then doesn't he have, like,
He's the Zombie Survival Guide.
That's it, the Zombie Survival Guide. Maybe they could call it that.
Yeah, maybe.
And do that type of
Mel Brooks' son.
Exactly, right? I mean, that's, man, who would expect that from Mel Brooks's, you know, from Mel Brooks, the guy who brought us Spaceballs.
He gave us History of the Zombie World, Part 1.
Yeah.
There you go. I like that. All right. Well, that's my number five.
All right.
Dawn of the Dead.
Kind of
a twofer.
Okay.
You got two sequels for the price of one.
That's right.
Sweet.
Yes.
All right. My number four is Tron Legacy.
Oh,
Tron Legacy came out in 2010. The original was Tron 1982. So, that was a pretty long time for a sequel. Because I remember watching Tron, you know, growing up as a kid, and it was like, man, how come they never made a sequel to Tron?
I know.
So from 82 to 2000, so when Tron Legacy came out, it was like, oh, they finally made a sequel. Like Santa read my Christmas letter. So both Tron and Tron 2 starred Jeff Bridges and Bruce...
Boxleitner.
Thank you. Bruce Boxleitner. You know, Tron, as you know, Tron's about a hacker who gets sucked into a computer game program and must help basically the program take down, like, was it an antivirus? I'm trying to remember.
It was a security system, I believe.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Then Tron Legacy is the son of Jeff Bridges' character trying to find his father, and he gets sucked into the Tron universe.
All over again. Yeah.
So, the budget for Tron was $17 million. It grossed in the United States $33 million. Tron Legacy... Surprisingly, the budget was $170 million. It grossed in the United States $172
million.
It squeaked by there.
Yeah.
It squeaked by there.
I would still like to see them make a sequel, though.
I would, too. That's why it kind of is on my list, because I thought, you know, Tron Legacy was a really good movie. I personally liked it.
Yeah.
And
it was late. I fell asleep, so I've got nothing on this one.
I liked them. I know that both of them the original and the legacy. They're not like critically acclaimed, I guess, you know, like as far as movies go, but I, as a kid, just watching like the trailer for the first Tron movie,
mm-hmm.
all I wanted to do was go see that movie because I was like, oh my god, it's all neon, it looks awesome.
Yeah, the
like,
light, the yeah. light, the light up things. The light, I want a bike like that.
Exactly. You see those types of things, and it just it's endlessly fascinating to me, I think. And then, you know, Tron Legacy just kind of built upon that with better special effects, and I think in that world it kind of makes sense. Computers are a little more sophisticated now, so. The effects are going to look better. And
if I remember correctly, I think Tron, when Tron the movie came out, also the video game came out
too. Yes,
it was like the exact same time.
Yeah. Whereas the game was highly successful.
Yes.
And the movie, not so much.
Not so much.
Because I watched that. Because I own like the DVD collector's edition of Tron, the first one. And in it, they talk about, I believe, if I'm correct in this, I'm going to say this, though, either way. So if I'm not correct, it's going to be an alternative fact.
All right. Alternative so fact. Yeah.
Here we go. Boom. We're laying it down. The Tron movie, because there was a time frame there where Disney was making a lot of live action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Tron put an end to that because it did so poorly.
Oh, man.
That they didn't make another live action movie for quite some time. In fact, I want to say they didn't make another successful live action movie until Pirates of the Caribbean. I think it was something crazy like that.
Hmm.
I'm not exactly sure if that's 100% correct, but I'm going to go with it.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So that means that means Condor Man was more successful than
yes, probably. Because I believe what most of the costs were with the original one is just the time that it took to render every scene, because you know with the technology they had at that point, all of the graphics that were depicted on it were all mathematical equations. They didn't see them until it was actually put on like film.
Wow!
And they projected it with some crazy thing like that. And I was fascinated by that as well, whereas now they don't have to do that. So.
Faster processors.
That's right. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm a nerd for that stuff, so yeah. Love those movies.
That's why it's on my list.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So, number four is Tron Legacy.
Okay. All right. Well, my number four. Is a 1986 movie, a sequel to, I believe, a 1979 movie. And that movie is Aliens.
Ah, yes.
I really enjoyed it. I watched it again today. It holds up wonderfully, except for some of the computer technology you would think would be a little bit better, but in the future. But and you would think they would have digital cameras.
Regardless.
James Cameron directed this one as opposed to Ridley Scott, and really changed the format of the movie from the horror genre to more of an action adventure with elements of horror in it. And by adding a bunch of aliens, you know, in the first one you only have one alien
picking
people apart one at a time, and this one it's overwhelming. Now, something I read about it before watching it, and having read it and watching it as an adult as opposed to a teenager, which is maybe the last time I watched it fully, I didn't realize how much he drew on Vietnam in writing this, where you have people with technologically superior group of people going into an area where they're fighting what should be a simple enemy, and then just getting trounced. Apparently he wrote that movie with that in mind. So
I think I recall hearing that at one point too. Now that you bring it up, I completely forgot about that. But yeah, I think I remember that being an element to that.
So great cast. You've got obviously Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And Michael Biehn. Paul Reiser, so punchable in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, the slimiest guy.
From the very time you see him, hear him talking for the first time,
yeah, yeah,
you're like, oh my gosh, it's one of my two dads. Why is...
Yeah, yeah, he's not supposed to be this way.
He's the understanding one.
The responsible one.
The responsible
exactly,
one.
Exactly, yep.
He's not like that Greg Evigan character. See, how's that?
Yeah, that's, I pulled that one right there.
Lance Henriksen, awesome as Bishop, the robot or the android you don't know if you're going to trust until the end. And then, of course, Bill Paxton.
Yes. Why don't you put her in charge?
Yeah. As the whiniest badass that has ever been committed to celluloid. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He just annoyed the crap out of me, but in a wonderful way.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
We're game over. Game over, man.
Did you know? I remember reading that he he just made that line up.
Did he?
Yeah, that wasn't even in the script. He's just game over, man.
That's awesome, though.
Playing that James Cameron thing is he's one of the thugs in the original Terminator that he steals the outfits off of. when he needs clothes, give me your clothes, you know, whatever. Maybe he had, I think, a mohawk in that one, maybe. I don't remember. He was one of the street punks.
I do remember that now. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, you don't, when you're Bill Paxton, you don't know, are you ever gonna have a role better than Chet?
That's true. So that came out, so it was Weird Science right before?
Would have had to have been, right?
Yeah, right before Aliens.
Had to have been.
It seems like it would be.
Yeah, so.
When you play a character that at one point turns into a pile of poo.
Yeah.
Seven Oscar nominations for. You're pulling out the budgets. I'm pulling out the Oscars.
Man,
which sounds dirty.
Oh, but pulling out the Oscars.
Yeah, I'm pulling out the gold statue.
We are in award season.
That's right.
So yeah, that's my number four.
Yeah, I can't. I'm surprised it got that many. That many Oscars.
A lot of it was visual, but some of it was for direction. I remember it being nominated. I remember watching the awards thing because I saw it before I saw it because I didn't see it until it came out to video.
I didn't either, but
because it was like sixth grade or whatever.
Yeah.
But the alien coming out of the water behind the girl.
Yes.
Such an amazing image.
I do remember that being. Yeah, that's a pretty awesome image.
Yeah.
85. Weird Science came out in 85.
So
year before.
Yeah. Bill Paxton didn't know. Yeah. You know. Well, there you go. All right. That brings us to my number four. My number four is a sequel to a movie that was kind of like a remake of the first one.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I see.
The first movie I'm talking about is Evil Dead.
Okay.
And the second movie is Evil Dead 2, easily enough.
Clever name.
Indeed.
But really, the two movies, really, the story is pretty similar. Not really too much different, except that the take is completely different. The take on the first one is more straight up kind of horror.
Yeah.
But Evil Dead 2 is slapstick horror. So it's more like a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, this is where Bruce Campbell really went to town, I think, in this role. Without him, I can't imagine another person playing the role of Ash.
No.
Besides him. No. I mean, he's just amazing, and it makes the movie cutting off your own hand somehow vastly entertaining. Yeah. And then later on fighting your severed hand even funnier.
Yeah.
Right? It's just amazing.
Elements of the Three Stooges in
yes,
that.
Yes, throughout. Just
fantastic slapstick.
Yep. Slapstick.
Slapstick in a gory, gory movie.
Yep. The gratuitous amounts of bodily fluids. Because I can't just say blood because... I mean,
some of it's like black ichor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I got to say ichor in this podcast, so I'm really excited.
Yes. You can mark that off the checklist.
Yeah, marking that off the bucket list right there.
So, yeah, you know, Sam Raimi, of course, writing and directing this film. It's an amazing movie. I love it, and it's probably one of the movies I could watch again and again.
Mm-hmm.
There's been musicals made from this movie. you know, also brought us the Ash versus the Evil Dead TV series.
Yes, indeed.
There's, you know,
comic books.
The list goes on. And then as far as budget goes, this movie, it had a budget of $3,600,000. So quite a bit more than the budget of my previous film, Dawn of the Dead. But it grossed $5,923,044.
Wow.
So it did pretty well. And one of the things that I remember about this movie, too, is I distinctly remember being at the mall and seeing the image of the poster of the skull with the eyes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And at the time when it came out...
Skulls! It's cool!
It's cool! Exactly! And I was a little bit like... Because I was kind of young at the time when it came out. Mm-hmm. So it was probably like, I can't go see that movie. But little did I know, a few short years later, I watched it and was like, oh my God, I want to see this movie again. So, yeah.
So the thing that sticks with me about this movie is that people in my high school, as they would see it, would quote it like all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the hallways. Some of them. Yeah. Just
the cool ones.
Yeah. So you'd hear Dead by Dawn.
And yeah, like, Dead by, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So. Yep. It's groovy. Sorry, I had to say it.
The scene where everything's coming alive and laughing.
Yes.
Oh, that's such a good scene.
Oh, it is. That is such a good scene.
He just starts laughing and does it.
Yeah,
such a good movie.
And the wall starts bleeding and shoots out.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah. So Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2.
There you go.
All right. Number 3, El Trace.
The Trace.
We're going a little more recent. We're going to 2014. And it is Captain America Winter Soldier.
Oh, yes.
And the original was Captain America the First Avenger. That came out in 2011. The reason why I put Captain America Winter Soldier in as my number 3 is because I thought the story was much better and it moved along a lot better than Captain America the First Avenger. I mean, Captain America First Avenger, I mean, was good, but it was kind of slow if you were not a Captain America fan, because you just were getting used to Iron Man, and both Iron Man moves were pretty fast, so you're like, oh, okay, so it's Captain America First Avenger should be kind of the same pace, but it took a little pace a little bit slower because, dealing with the World War II and everything. But Captain America Winter Soldier, the pace really picked up, and I just like the whole fact that all this time Hydra has been infiltrated, has been hiding in plain sight of S.H.I.E.L.D. and had become S.H.I.E.L.D. and Captain America and his band of heroes had to take it down.
Yeah.
That was a really good movie.
Yeah. It is, yeah. Even as, like, if you took it as just a straight up, like, spy film or something like that, take the Captain America character out, it's an amazing movie.
That's one of the things Marvel does so right is they take their characters and they put them into a genre pieces.
Exactly.
And that is a perfect, I guess you'd call it spy film. It reminds you of, like, a 60s intrigue film.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And the thing I that's really memorable to me about that movie, too, is just how it intertwined with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yes. so well. Because, like, that whole Hydra reveal that happens in the movie just carries right into the show. And it just, like, I never thought anything like that would happen between movie and TV.
Yeah.
And the fact that they did that. I wish they would do more of that because I don't think they've done that as effectively as that movie.
Yeah, I mean, they had little snippets of Thor.
Yeah, but, and the other ones, and stuff. And it just, not the same way where it just drastically changed everything about the show.
Yeah.
Because,
Well, and it also will always hold a special place in my heart because someone who occasionally listens to this podcast, my friend Dave.
No, yeah,
David.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, David.
Hey.
Was in the movie as a Hydra agent whenever they were looking in the mall.
Oh, for them in the mall. Really?
He was one of the guys. And if you look really closely, you can see that he's wearing a Punisher belt buckle.
Nice.
Which they didn't realize while they were filming at first. So,
wow. You know what? We got something in common because I also have a friend who was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in Captain America.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier. Get out of here.
Yeah, his name was Jason, and he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and that's what he tells all the girls.
Was he Hydra, too?
No,
was he a good one?
He was a good S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Oh, mine was Hydra.
Oh, so they would be fighting.
Yeah. They would be fighting. So, yeah, so he tries to use that to when he picks up girls. So he's like,
Does it work?
I think it does.
Oh, man, if I wasn't married, I'd just say I was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
You're right.
I was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and Captain America Winter Soldier.
So would you get a hotter chick if you said you were Hydra or if you were S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You know what? It depends.
Probably if you said you were Captain America.
Yeah. No. Good point.
I mean, when they write a scene into a movie just so you can hold a helicopter back and show off your biceps, you know?
That is true.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That is a funny...
The Chris's in Marvel movies. Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth.
They
love the Chris.
They do love the Chris.
And?
We Chris.
Hey!
I am available for roles.
See,
there you go.
Are you listening? Come on.
I would love to be MODOK.
Oh, man. There's I've heard rumors about MODOK being in
Dinklage.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think would be interesting.
I thought they were looking at him to be Pip from Puck. Why do you is it Puck?
It's
I Puck. Thought Puck was
Puck for Alpha Flight?
Alpha Flight. No, yep. No. Pimp from
the troll guy
with the cigar.
He was one of the holders
of the gems of the
he was yeah
oh man I did not remember that character
you remember that character we'll have to look him War, up
of Warlock there.
I was hearing that because they wanted to put Warlock too.
And for this for the Infinity
because his name is actually Pip the Troll, right?
I
believe so, yeah.
There he is. Marvel.
Oh, I do not remember him. I've got him up, pulled up. Yep, not nope, don't remember him. Was he in the Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah.
He was kind of a little bit more of a minor character in there, but
He ended up after the Infinity Gauntlet. He was in the Infinity Wars and all. And
I have him the Gauntlet and the Wars. I haven't read him in a long time.
I think he was in the standalone Warlock comic for a while too, as well.
Because they each hold a gem. Like Gamora held a gem. Held a gem. Right.
Yeah.
And actually, Drax the Destroyer held the gem, and Moon Dragon held a gem, and then Adam Warlock held a gem because they were the guardians of the gems, so...
Yeah. I do remember, yeah.
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 So that's what I heard, so who knows?
Maybe both. Yeah, there you go. Maybe.
He can do it all!
Well, exactly, right? Yeah,
seriously.
I could see him in... I want to see them do MODOK, though, because I think...
I just want to see MODOK.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So would MODOK be in more of an Avenger villain, or would it be a Captain America villain?
Well, what I was thinking... And I could be completely wrong about this, but like it seems like what the Russo brothers like to do is like they like to throw in like a little segment at the beginning of the movie, just filled with action, just to like, kind of get the
like,
movie.
Like, who is that? MODOK the Leaper, or not MODOK?
Batroc the Leaper. Yes. Like how they did it in there, and then I mean, they kind of did the same thing with Crossbones in Civil War, where they kind of did that in the beginning. I'm thinking MODOK in the beginning of Infinity War, just as like. You know, maybe to kind of bring the Avengers together, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and then
yeah,
go from there. I don't know. Complete speculation on my part. I have no insider knowledge whatsoever, but, you know.
But if you like our idea, Marvel, please let us know.
And write us a check.
Yeah.
Yes.
We like checks.
Yeah.
Or a world premiere.
I know.
Yes. Yeah. And again, we'll take whatever you give us.
I am available for the MODOK role, just to say.
Again, Chris is available for...
If you need another Chris.
Yes. Add to the list.
You can always use another Sam.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
just real quick, the budget for Captain America Winter Soldier, $170 million, gross $259 million. So, which destroyed Captain America First Avenger, which grossed $176 million. So,
I did really like the original movie, too.
I did, too.
I liked all three of the movies. But the original felt like the old comics, and
yes.
Which it was an old timey thing. So
right, yeah, for
it,
sure.
It,
yeah.
It went really well. They did really good things.
Yeah. So that is my number three.
I like it.
My number three, also comic book related, a 2008 movie.
Ooh.
The Dark Knight.
Ooh.
I have absolutely no notes written down about this, but it's Christopher Nolan. Obviously, we've got Christian Bale reprising the role and the voice.
It's a terrible voice.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it's Bruce Wayne. It's okay. It's just the Batman. So.
Yeah.
And
it's okay, but in some points,
where's
Harvey Dent?
You're like, what did he say?
Wait.
How hard is he bent?
Yeah, I don't know if that's an appropriate question to ask.
Yeah.
It has a lot of great things going for it. Just the opening scene of the bank robbery, where the clowns one at a time are killing each other. Until you reveal Heath Ledger, and it's one of the most iconic film portrayals of an iconic character.
Yeah.
You know, winning the Oscar posthumously for Heath Ledger. Just start to finish, it's a good movie. It's just they do so much. The third one wasn't able to live up to the second one, in my opinion.
No.
And it would have been
set the bar really high.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And it was, I really enjoyed Batman Begins, but it was but The Dark Knight was just far superior.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember, you know, because Batman Begins, I thought, oh, this is awesome. This is so good.
So a Batman grounded in reality.
Yeah. And, him going through the training, and you're like, oh, man, this is so good. Everything about it, you know. And then The Dark Knight, I was like, I'm going to give it a chance. Then you hear Heath Ledger's cast as the Joker. Oh, wow, really? That guy?
No, I was good with it.
Yeah, I was totally good with it after I saw... like some of the original, like when they revealed like what he was going to look like and everything, I was like, okay, I want to see where they go with this. Before that, I mean, it was hard to imagine what direction they were going in,
right?
I guess, but then after seeing that, and then seeing some of the trailers as they got further along into shooting, and then actually sitting in the theater and watching him emerge from the screen as the Joker. Oh, just amazing. I mean,
the pistol trick did it for me.
That's fantastic.
Oh man, yep.
There was so much good in that performance.
Yeah.
Something interesting, if you ever get a chance, look it up. There is a 1977 or 78 interview with Tom Waits where he's on some talk show. An Australian talk show or something. And if you listen to him talk in the mannerisms, it sounds almost exactly like Heath Ledger's
performance. Really, yeah. That's crazy.
It's crazy where he seems almost disinterested and talks, you know, it's crazy. But you don't just get him. You also get the origin story of Two-Face.
Yes. You do, yes. So that is true. That is
It's easy to lose.
Yeah.
The Two-Face villain in the other one, but that hospital scene, both where he's talking to Harvey Dent and telling him about, you know, how it when you know soldiers died 2,000 miles away or whatever, that's just business as usual. Or I don't know how he words it, but everyone loses their mind if you blow up a busload of whatever. There's weird stuff going on in there, and it's a really unique social commentary coming from the villain. And it's just nice to see like an opposite character to Batman, the iconicness, and the,
yeah.
And then how sad is it knowing he's dead at the end when he says we're destined to do this forever, and you're like, oh, I want to see where you are and be able to do that, Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Because how awesome would that have been if he was brought back?
And I'm sure he was. I'm sure the plan was to bring him back. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, because it did bring back Scarecrow ever so briefly in the third one.
He showed up in the. Third one.
So, but yeah, that is, and the fact that, you know, Heath Ledger didn't even get to see how well his performance was accepted, and I mean universally accepted. I mean, that was the new Joker, as far as everybody was concerned, and probably the most cosplayed version of the Joker ever.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a, you know, stands its own for sure.
Yeah.
That's my tray.
All right, your tray. All right, my tray is Superman 2.
Ah.
Yes, Superman 2. This one has its own little bit of controversy to it as well.
I thought you were going to go Superman 3.
Everyone knows it's a vastly superior film. No, no. No, I won't say that. But what I will say is, this one has a little bit of controversy with it as well. Originally, Richard Donner was supposed to do the entire film, was kind of pulled out towards the end. And in order for the new director, Richard Lester, to get credit for directing the film, he had to vastly reshoot many of the scenes. In fact, I think that the percentage had to be like 70% of the film had to be reshot. Or something like that, in order for him to get that that director credit. So you'd automatically think that, okay, if there's that much reshooting of a film that was already done, wow, this movie's going to be a train wreck.
Possibly.
But I think it's superior to the original as far as how it came out, because... It is a bold statement. I mean, as far as like as a kid, and I'm thinking of this from a kid's perspective when I watched it originally, because I love Superman 2 a lot more than Superman 1, just because you saw more superpowered individuals. You saw them fighting, you know, so that's much, you know, as a kid, that's super entertaining. Mm-hmm. If, you know, as a grown up, comparing the two films, I would say the first Christopher Reeve Superman is a better film.
Yeah, I think origin stories always have the advantage automatically, which is interesting because we've now, all three of us did, for this pick, have done a comic book movie.
That is true. That is interesting. But seeing General Zod and just...
Come some Jor-El.
Exactly. Kneel before Zod. I mean, that has got to be like one of the most quoted, you know, lines from any Superman movie right there. I mean, some of the weird things that they kind of do towards the end with some of his superpowers, like, you know, Superman ripping an S off of his chest and throwing it at one of the...
Garbage.
Yeah.
That's garbage.
Yeah. He's never had that ability before.
Or since.
Or since.
You would think he would use that again.
Yeah, and they do some weird, teleporting thing, too, inside there, and it's just... You know, those things...
Strange pods... That take your powers away.
Yeah.
Or, with a flip of the switch, take everyone else's powers away. Yeah. Not logically speaking.
Yeah, no.
Why do you have that option?
And it just makes me wonder...
It just seems like someone's going to go try to make popcorn sometime and accidentally take your powers away.
Yeah, right? And be like, oh! That was a mistake. Yeah. And then Lois Lane kind of punches...
She kills.
Kills one of them and just...
It's fine.
If she happens to fall, she didn't kill her.
Well, we don't know.
If she happens to fall. All
right, let's go do some roofing, and I'm going to punch you on the edge of the roof. Yeah. If you happen to fall. Yeah.
And have no superpowers.
Well, she slid. She didn't fall, per se. She slid. She slid down.
Yeah.
So.
We do know they don't come back.
They don't come back. Maybe there's like some place in the Phantom Zone that they get put back. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, as a kid, that's what I imagine, that they went to the Phantom Zone. But we don't really know.
As a kid, it didn't even dawn on me the fact that they just murdered people.
Yeah,
at the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't. I was just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they won.
They won the day.
Yeah, by flipping the switch and switching their powers away. And
like, where'd they go?
Yeah, I get it because the lights were on the outside of the weird capsule thingy.
I will say, even as a kid, though, I was always, you know, Niagara Falls. There was always the... How is he going to keep his identity secret?
Yes, you know, and, yes.
Oh, but the kid in the falls or whatever, they still manage to... Then he bends over, a fire in his glasses fall off. How is he not super fast enough to stop that the second they come one into...
That's true. That is very true. One of the weird things, and I don't know if you guys have this visual in your head or not, of when Lois and Clark are in... that hotel, and they have those like heart shaped things. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know why that is such an image in my head, because I'm like, that's like the coolest motel ever. And I don't know why, but you know,
I was just waiting to someday be an adult so I could I could afford the heart shaped everything.
Exactly, if I could get rich like that and have that kind of room. But I've looked for that room. I can't find that room.
I don't know. I think they took away the room.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's probably show up in the next 50 Shades movie.
It might, yeah. Just a darker shade of red.
Yeah,
it's my blood.
But yeah, there was one other thing we were gonna say. I think you were gonna say something about the movie.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, well, to me, just like the fighting scene with the three villains, I think it, especially in DC movies, I don't think it's ever been matched. Because like
yeah that's probably true.
It's well choreographed for its time. Because when you looked at Man of Steel, it was just like blurs of people flying around, and then the unspeakable B versus S. So
yeah,
so much hate,
so much hate,
so much.
And, I mean, yeah, I agree, because I think
so much anger.
For the time, I think that the effects of that movie were outstanding.
Right.
Because I remember watching the movie and not really...
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like thinking, man, they're blowing over tanker trucks and... Right. You know, and it's just...
And the bus and people are getting swirled around in the air.
And you still get Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor, too.
Exactly, yeah. Right? So you get all that. But even as a kid, him... ripping the S off and throwing it.
I was like, what just happened there? Even the bad guy was like, what just happened here?
When did you get this power? I've never seen you have this power before.
Just throw an S to it. Can I just write an S on my chest?
If you're super, I guess you can do whatever you want. Make up
what
powers.
What is even the logic behind that, though?
So some special Kryptonian material that his S is made out of. I can't even tell.
This is a big distraction. I was like, what is
yeah.
You didn't even hold him.
I would have just been happier if
what is that
up...
used for under a red sun? that's keeping leftovers warm or something?
It's a sun visor.
It's riddles. Right. Need a blanket? Yeah. Here's my S.
Yes. It's a multi-purpose S. If you have your S with you, it's like a towel in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, don't leave anywhere without your S.
Didn't they use it like in the when Superman and Lois finally got together? Wasn't they sleeping in that thing or something? Or no?
What? What?
In the S?
Sleeping in the S?
I don't think Lois ever
took it
in the S.
I thought the blanket
took it in the S.
I'm sorry.
I thought the blankets were like the Superman colors. That's what I was like. Maybe that's what he used for. Here you go, baby. You need a blanket.
Took it in the S.
We went there.
That's awesome.
So yes, right. Superman 2.
Superman 2.
Richard Donner and, you know, Richard Lester.
All right. All right, now we are at the deuce.
The deuce.
The mighty
deuce. It was coming.
You knew it was coming.
Dropping the deuce.
It was peeking out.
It often happens after someone takes it in the ass. We always just devolve right down into the poop humor.
Yep, the deuce is never the same after that.
The same. My number two is going to 1982. It is Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan.
Khan! Yes!
Right, alrighty. Was the sequel to the original Star Trek: The Motion Picture, which came out in 1979.
And I did not like that movie when I was little.
It was long.
The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good, though. Like, if you see it now, I think the story of it is so
good. Better. I'm sure it's a better room, but...
Yeah. Like, just...
When you're first watching, it's not the Star Trek you expect.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, the whole V'ger reveal at the end, you're like, oh, man, that's so cool. You know, like, when... If you know, you know...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
1979.
Sorry. Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, come on! It happens at the end of the Miracle of 34th Street. Yeah.
Dorothy wakes back up on the farm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And all those characters are her uncles.
That's disturbing, too.
That is disturbing. That's disturbing.
But,
yeah, it is.
Star Trek, Wrath of Khan, you know, starred... You know, William Shatner, Nimoy, Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, you can't leave him out. Yeah.
Finest Corinthian leather.
Yes. And the finest fake abs I've ever seen.
They were just magnificent.
They were magnificent.
George Takei. Ooh, Christy Alley was in this movie, too.
Oh, I forgot about that.
She was a Vulcan.
Yeah.
So, as you know... Khan seeks revenge on Kirk for what he did in an episode of Star Trek on the television series, leaving him on a planet which that planet had like been destroyed. So Khan and his people moved to another planet, but it was basically almost uninhabitable. And he blamed Kirk for it. And years and years later, Khan seeks his revenge. So, for me, this is the epitome of the Star Trek movies. This is number one in the Star Trek movies. And I know you Trekkies are wondering why is it number two on my list. That will be revealed later instead of being number one. But for me, Khan is like one of my favorite villains of all time.
Oh sure.
No, yeah.
And the interactions and the chess game between him and Kirk, in the battle.
In the chess.
It's pretty good. It freaked me out with the earworm thing.
I was gonna say that.
If somebody wasn't gonna bring that up.
Yeah, that was
gonna be
that haunted me for a long time.
What is that? As a kid, every time I went to bed, I had to check, look under the pillow. Is there any weird ear things? No, I would not lay down at the beach.
Look, yeah.
I mean,
because even when
old generation of kids ruined.
Exactly. Yeah. Even when you knew like spiders or whatever. Like, the earworms still, like, creep me out more than knowing.
Yeah, the fake earworms creep me out more than anything as a child. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Changed the way I watched Fantasy Island.
Did we ever determine, are those earworms still in Chekhov? Did they ever get out of
there? No, they fell out.
They fell out.
Yeah, because at one point, what do? They phase them or something? They do like a stun them or something? At one point, it falls out.
Yeah.
You see it on the floor.
Also, that move, by the way, is one of the saddest endings
to a movie.
If you don't know that Star Trek 3 is coming out.
Yeah.
And called the search for Spock.
That is true.
Yeah.
Because you're...
That was
live long and prosper and all
the
that stuff.
Needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yes.
Or the one.
Yes.
Okay, I just brought the party down. Sorry.
Oh man. Leonard Nimoy, good. Spock.
Such an amazing movie.
Yeah, it is.
Just a quick thing. Budget for Wrath of Khan was $11.2 million. It grossed $78.9 million.
So it did pretty okay.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, the budget for Star Trek was more. For the original motion picture, the budget for Star Trek, the motion picture, was $35 million, and it grossed $82.3 million.
Wow, it did really well as well.
Yeah. So. So the number deuce is Star Trek II Wrath of Khan.
It's a good deuce.
That is a good deuce.
That is a healthy deuce.
Yes, that's right.
Solid deuce.
Solid deuce.
Yes. All right. My deuce is going to be an abnormal deuce compared to the rest of the list.
But I'm sure equally as solid.
Oh, it's so solid. If ever there was an Oscar-worthy deuce.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
It is The Godfather.
Oh.
Part deuce.
Ooh. That is a good deuce.
It is different than the rest, and most of the rest of ours have to do with comic books, science fiction, whatever, but I couldn't do a best sequel without talking about The Godfather.
Yes.
Part deuce. 1974, sequel to Speed. No, sequel to Godfather 1.
I was like, whoa.
sequel to, obviously, the first Godfather. Now, when I first watched The Godfather for the first time, I borrowed it on VHS tape from someone who lived down the hall from me. And it was a couple video cassettes, because that was the way they did long movies. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, man, this is long.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, this is the longest movie I have ever seen. and I put in the second thing, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is amazing. Why am I in the fifth hour and this is still going on? It was because they had a special version that was The Godfather 1 and The Godfather 2 cut in chronological order.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, really? I didn't even know they made that.
Me either.
I'm sitting there watching, and they get to the scene where they close the door, like that's the actual ending of the first movie, and I was like, man, that would have been a perfect place to end this movie. Why are they still going?
Why is it still going on?
Man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy because, you know, it starts with the old Italy stuff, then the Robert De Niro stuff, then the Marlon Brando stuff, then the Vegas stuff. So
I want to see that version.
It was pretty amazing to watch. Yeah. But so The Godfather Part Two, you've got Al Pacino.
You've got
Robert De Niro. You've got John Cazale, I believe is his name, played Fredo. He was married, I believe, to Meryl Streep, or else in a long term relationship with Meryl Streep. Really? He was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. Mm. He only starred in 5 movies.
Oh, get out of here!
All 5 nominated for Best Picture.
Wow!
What?
Wow!
Yeah,
that is pretty impressive.
Impressive record. So, and he was a great actor. So you've got the story of Vito Corleone, the background. So this is a sequel that's also a prequel. It's just really well acted. Just a great story, and it continues on the first. And it's hard to say which is better. Yeah. But you're dealing with 2 of the best movies ever made.
That is true. That is very true. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. And I don't know if I've ever have seen it all in one sitting, to be honest with you. I've seen chunks of it here and there, and I'm sure I've seen the whole film.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just a heartbreak. When you watch him, you watch the fall of Michael, really, from the first one, the one that doesn't want to be involved with the business at all in the first movie, ends up being the one that takes over. And then this one really shows you how far he gets into the world, you know. And, again, I don't think it's spoiling a movie that's 43 years old or whatever that is. But you know, you've got him having his own brother killed, you know, and it's just a really good movie. I really don't know what else to say. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience to watch those movies for the first time, even if they are in chronological order and five and a half hours long or whatever it was.
that's a good chunk of time.
It was. I just kept thinking it was going
to
end.
I want to watch it like that, actually, just to see it in that way.
They should make a third one.
They should. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested to see
where it goes. Where does the story go? Yes, we're waiting for that third one to come out.
Definitely come out.
Yes.
I have heard rumors that there was like a fan-made film.
There was.
It was like a...
It was. But, I mean, they didn't even use professional actors. They just cast their daughters in major roles.
Is so, that what they yeah. Okay, yeah. That kind of makes sense.
That's it. No, I did read, though, that Winona Ryder was supposed to be that person, and she stepped out of the film, and so then he cast his daughter.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't like the third one very much.
Yeah.
It was just weird. It was just... It didn't feel right. It didn't feel like the other ones.
No. Yeah. It was good.
It's a little different. Yeah. All right.
All right. That was my strong deuce.
That is a strong deuce.
It's an Oscar-winning deuce.
That is an Oscar-winning deuce.
Yeah.
My deuce. I don't think it won any Oscars, but that doesn't make it a less solid deuce in my opinion. Right.
Okay. Let's break out the saran wrap.
That's it. Let's get ready.
I'm going to lay a deuce all over your chest.
My deuce, and I'm going to lay it on you, is also a film directed by Sam Raimi. Mm-hmm. And that deuce is Spider-Man deuce. Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it is the best Spider-Man film that has been made as of yet.
I can agree.
I agree.
Yeah. Hopefully Spider-Man Homecoming might beat that, but I love Spider-Man 2. Everything about it, I thought it was the perfect Spider-Man movie.
Oh, you're not talking about Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Oh, with Rhino? Yeah. I mean, I should be.
You should be.
I should be talking about that.
I actually still haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that one either, to be honest with you. Because,
it's actually better than Amazing Spider-Man.
Is it really?
It's a little bit better.
It's a little bit better. It can be too much worse.
Yeah.
But, Spider-Man 2, I think, is perfect. Dr. Octopus is one of my favorite Spider-Man villains. And then I think played so well by Alfred Molina.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what made this movie so strong, I think, is just having such a strong actor play the villain so well. And made him so sympathetic as well. Just you know, knocked it out of the park, and I think that's what won the movie over for me. But there's also just so many scenes where I think Sam Raimi just handles the character Spider-Man so well in it.
Mm-hmm.
When Spider-Man saves that subway train, you know, sacrifices himself, puts himself in there, like puts himself, you know, strains his body to where he can't even, you know, he stops the train. But he can't even stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just, you know, everybody that he just saved, they just kind of carry him.
Allow him to crowd surf.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's just.
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah. Whoa. No,
an amazing Spider-Man scene. Spider-Man,
yes. It is an amazing.
Spectacular.
It is spectacular.
So, yeah, no, it's a great Spider-Man movie. And, yeah, I just love everything about that Spider-Man movie. So. Yeah.
It felt comic booky.
With
the losing the what is it, Spider-Man? No, I can't remember the name of the thing it was kind of based on. Where the cover was like the garbage can with the suit hanging out of it. And him walking away.
The Spider-Man No More.
Losing the powers and everything. It brought back a lot of
memories. That was actually three though. I think
that was three.
Yeah, it was
three.
No,
was it?
No, that was three because.
No, three was the turd with Venom.
Yeah, it was the turd with Venom, but he was losing his powers, and is it?
No, I think maybe he does lose his powers in the beginning.
He loses
his confidence.
He has to get his confidence back.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's like Stella.
Yes.
He has to get his groove back.
That's right.
And he does.
I prefer to think, which Rocky movie is that where he's kind of taking the punches and... Is it three?
Yeah, Mr. T does Mr. amend T. almost, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where he's just, you know...
Kills Mickey and then beats him to loses all his confidence. He kind of does that in four a little bit.
Yeah. But I think it's more like profound.
In three.
With Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang.
Yep.
And Apollo.
Hey, Apollo.
I don't know.
Come on, Stallion!
But yeah, the Spider-Man Deuce.
It's a good quality super deuce.
Super deuce.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Spider-Man 2, I love it.
Yep.
So,
there you go.
That's pretty much all I have to say about it. Sam Raimi, top form. I wish Spider-Man 3 was different. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you kind of said it. We were just... It
I
just
feel, too I much feel, stuff you know what on. We need to do as a top five? I'm just throwing this out here. Because originally I thought maybe we could do the worst sequels. But this might tie it in better. Just sequels that pissed you off.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say sequels that were missed opportunities. But yeah, pissed you off. It's, yeah.
Because Spider-Man 3 pissed me off. And it wasn't Sam Raimi's fault.
No,
it
was, it's not. It's
totally Sony's fault.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do Venom at all.
Yeah.
And they could have done an amazing Sandman story.
The Sandman, like the first part of the film with Sandman in it is amazing, I think. I really do think it's awesome. Like, even the casting of the Sandman character. Again, they did that whole making the villain sympathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
And then why do you throw Venom in there?
And why do you throw Venom? And you don't need Hobgoblin.
At
that point.
No.
I'd love to see Hobgoblin as a character. I loved Hobgoblin. I love the design. Well, I love Green Goblin too.
Yeah.
Not so much the Green Goblin in the movie. I like William Dafoe's portrayal, but I would have rather seen it look more like the comic. But
yeah, I would have too. Yeah, that's why I think I liked Spider-Man 2 better, because Doc Ock looked like Doc Ock we expect to see.
Yeah,
So, but that's the thing with Sandman too. I think Sandman looked so much like the comic book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh man, this is going to be so good. And then it just kind of
Topher Grace did not look like Eddie Brock at all.
No, he did not at all.
No, not close.
All. And I that's a missed opportunity there. Yeah. A whole movie with Sandman would have been awesome.
So that would go on my list of movies that pissed me off.
Yeah.
I can agree with that one.
I totally agree with that one. All right. We still have faith in Sam Raimi, though. I think
we do have faith in Sam Raimi. Saying.
Oh, always. Yeah.
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 So we don't blame you, Sam.
We blame the studio.
That's right.
No, Sam Raimi has a free pass for life.
Yeah. He does. Yeah. You ever see Drag Me to Hell?
Yes.
That's a great movie.
Great.
Too. Yeah. It's a good movie.
And the Buick shows up in that. Or is it Buick? Ash's Buick?
Does it?
Yeah.
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, it's in the driveway at the...
Oh, that's place. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Alright.
Alright, we're ready for the...
Yeah, yeah.
We're at number one.
The numero R. Kelly uno. Memorial
numero uno.
No.
Number one.
Okay, and you're thinking, what could
Spray
be...
Spray us with that pick.
That was awesome. It's like, what in God's name could beat Star Trek 2 Wrath of Khan?
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm waiting
on my list? My number one... 1985.
Oh, we're going back there.
It follows a Vietnam vet, and he is asked to go back into enemy territory to get pictures, but he does more because he is Mr. John Rambo, and I am talking about Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Mm.
Yes.
Starring Sylvester Stallone. As you know, in the first movie, Rambo gives himself up, and he is sent to jail because, you know, they drew first blood.
They drew first blood.
That was great. That was a good movie. Dude.
That was a good movie.
It's such a good movie.
It's such a low budgety one.
Yeah.
And the first one is so. It's very, very different movies.
Exactly. Different. Yeah. The second one is like full blown action extravaganza, I think. And the first one is like, it's more subtle commentary about, you know,
about the way we treated our vets.
And Rambo's, Colonel comes back to him and says, "Hey, John, we have a mission for you. This will help you get your sentence. If you do this, you won't have to serve any more jail time." He's like, "Okay, I'll do it." And his job,
okay.
And so,
who you want me to kill?
And so his job was to just go into the jungle, and there was some POWs that were captured, and he was just the tools to take pictures. And we all know John Rambo, if he sees a fellow...
I'm sorry, I'm just getting that in there. No, yeah. Just an image.
Yeah.
Taking pictures.
Taking pictures. And he was supposed to report back. And they told him, do not engage. But, you know, John Rambo was like, I got to do something.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
engagement photos.
Yeah. And so Rambo frees one of the prisoners, and they're running to the extraction point. And, you know, the enemy is right behind them shooting at him and stuff. And the extraction point, the helicopter comes, and they basically leave Rambo to the enemy. And the helicopter is literally right there, and the helicopter pilot was the Cobra Kai sensei.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Man, talk about being typecast as an a-hole.
Right? There's like... Yeah. Which movie came out first?
Karate Kid was 84.
84. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I seen Rambo. Because
I just watched it with my son.
Did you?
When I seen Rambo.
Did he like it?
Loved it.
Did he? Wes loved it too.
Rambo First Blood. And I was like, wait a minute. Isn't that the bad guy from Karate Kid?
Yes.
Full perm? Did he have the full
perm? He had the full perm.
Oh, man.
That's it.
As he flew away, did he mouth, no mercy.
No retreat, no surrender. Let me see if I can find him. Well, anywho, he's in there. He's a real big jerk. So Rambo is behind enemy lines and he's being tortured. And
is this the metal bed frame thing where the electricity?
Yes.
It's been so long since I've seen this, man. But I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot all about that too.
Martin Cove was the one bad guy pilot that left Rocky. So Martin Cove.
So that man, was I hated him when I was in the 80s.
I know, right?
That's good for him. That means he's playing the role the way it was supposed to be played. Yeah.
So, you know, Rocky's getting tortured. That was when he was the, like you said, the electrical.
What just happened here? I don't know. I get these weird thoughts in my head. Like, at this point, I'm thinking about the casting director, like, looking at him and being like, oh, there, we found our a-hole, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And that brought me back to Lois Lane in my mind. I go weird places over here. Sometimes it's better to just ignore me and not mention it.
There probably is, like, a list of actors, though, that they're like, hey, we need somebody to play a grade A a-hole. And you're like, hey, I've got just the actor for you.
There's something about your face that just makes me think you're an a-hole. I mean, probably the nicest guy that's ever lived.
You know, probably really is, you know.
And two roles.
Yeah, he defined, you know.
Defined 80s a-hole.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So Rocky gets tortured and then he gets out. There's the famous scene where he's on the bad guys have him on the radio and he's talking to his colonel and the other American bad guys, and you know he grips the microphone. And he's like, I'm coming to get you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does that. Yeah, yeah.
Classic. And he gets out, and you know he does his Rambo thing, blowing things up, taking a machine gun, get to the chopper, and you know.
Yeah, that was Arnold. Yeah, yeah.
I know, I did my Arnold thing, but he also said get to the chopper. Yeah. No, Predator. But he also
Predator. That's it, Predator.
But he also said get to the chopper too.
Get to the chopper.
Yeah. I didn't know how to do the low voice, but. Quick thing, budget for First Blood Part 2 is $44 million. It grossed $150 million. The budget for First Blood was $15 million, and it grossed $47 million. So basically, First Blood was the only movie that wasn't named Rambo. It was just, yeah, First Blood.
First Blood, yeah.
I remember reading that book, and it was probably after the movies. That was before I saw the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a little bit different, but it was good.
Still good, yeah.
So.
Yeah. What was the last one was John Rambo, right? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Or was it just Rambo?
I think it was just Rambo.
I think it was just Rambo. Okay.
It'd be better if it was called just Rambo.
Just Rambo. Yeah, just Rambo. That's kind of like what the movie is. Just Rambo just killing just stuff. Rambo. Just
and he finally gets home, so that's the crazy part about that. Yeah, let's see. I think it's just John Rambo.
Because he kind of got more minimalistic with the last couple movies he did.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa, yeah. Creed.
Yep, Creed, yep. I haven't seen Creed yet.
Well, Creed's very good.
Is it good?
I've heard only amazing things about it.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa is really good.
Rocky Balboa is good. Let's see if we find it. It is Rambo. Just Rambo.
Rambo. Just Rambo. All
right. Yeah.
I've never met anyone with that last name.
Rambo?
I think I have, actually.
No, you might know a story.
Do I?
There's a guy that we both know. Okay. I'm not going to reveal the name.
All right.
But it's pretty hilarious. But
it rhymes with Tambo.
He got... No, hey, straight? No. He was getting arrested. And the cops asked him what his name was. And he's like, Rambo, John Rambo. And they hadn't seen the movie. So they're filling out the paperwork. Putting John Rambo down.
Oh, how'd that go over?
Yeah, it didn't go over well. No. But, like, luckily he knew somebody that worked at the police station because he was pretty inebriated at the time. And they're like, hey, what are you doing? What is he doing in here? He's like, and they call him by a different name. I'm just going to say his first name because it's probably okay for me to say his first name. He's like, Tony, what are you doing here? And he's like, the guy that's filling out the paperwork is like, Tony, who's Tony? This is John Rambo. So, of course, they tell him, Tony, get out of here. So they just basically tell him to get out of there and go home and walk home and sober up. So, yeah, I think that story is just absolutely hilarious.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Well, now I know that if I ever get pulled over, not to give the name John Rambo, because yeah, they'll have a rap sheet on me.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Wait, didn't we get you in the 80s?
That's like Ron White. They call me Tater.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tater, yeah, Tater, 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 Tater Salad. Tater Salad. All right,
we're moving on to my...
I think you're our Kelly Memorial.
I was going to take a drink, but... Oh. First, I got to get my number one out of the way.
Get the number one out the way.
All right. My movie is a sequel to an amazing movie that defined our childhood. My movie is The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, that is a good one.
It has everything that you could possibly want in a movie, and then some. It potentially improves, at least thematically, on the original. And I just seeing it as a kid completely blew my mind. You've got just iconic moments. Just, you know, I love you, I know. You've got the whole Hoth scene of the walkers falling. You've got Jedi training. You've got the first actual Darth Vader versus Luke in-person moments. And of course, you've got I Am Your Father. So, and then not just the iconic moments, the introduction of iconic characters like Boba Fett.
All of
the bounty hunters, but in particular Boba Fett, Yoda.
Yes,
You've got Ghost Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Lando.
You've got
Lando
that's Calrissian.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
You've got...
somebody can relate to.
Time. The universe has suddenly gotten more ethnically diverse.
Like, yeah.
And how smooth is he?
Oh,
well,
man.
What do we have here?
Exactly. Right. So, right. Oh man.
Oh man.
They couldn't have got a better person to play that character.
No.
To this day, I think he's like so Lando is so misunderstood, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get to find out more about him in the. the Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
With, I don't think he's misunderstood. He did what he had to do to save his place. He got everybody out of there. It was a temporary solution to a temporary problem, and he helped rescue him. That's true.
I mean, he did.
I mean, his choices were help them take him and try to rescue him, or we're just going to kill you and take over your place and capture him anyway. So
exactly,
it'll probably be bloody.
And you know what I wonder too. I wonder who has actually more screen time in the Millennium Falcon. Lando or Han?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, he's pretty much in the Millennium Falcon the entire third movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a little bit of the second one.
Yeah. I think Han catches up with them in Force Awakens.
That could be, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true.
But I think it was. Wasn't it Lando's first? Wasn't the Millennium Falcon Lando's first?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Han Solo won it from him in a card game.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Hopefully we get to see that.
Yeah. What kind of card games do you think they play there?
Oh, Go Fish.
Go.
Euchre.
Go Gungan.
Go Gungan. Once you go Gungan, you never... You
go Bungan? What's
that? I don't know. I don't either.
I don't know. It's just an iconic movie. And it was the first movie that I saw as a kid that had a really down ending.
It did, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Yes.
So your and heroes are supposed to...
Trying to process that as a kid. It's just hard to, I don't even know how to say it because it was just like such a downer. Because everybody... You know,
yeah, I mean,
Han's captured. Luke has his hand cut off. Yeah, it's just like, what's going on?
His questionable parentage is, you know, his hero father is not a hero.
Yes, exactly. Suddenly, all that, you know, Luke's world flipped upside down.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
that's my number one.
That's a great number one.
That way we don't have any, you know, Star Wars fans coming after us.
Yeah.
There you go.
We just got to worry about the trackies.
That's it. That's all we have to worry about. All right. My number one is a sequel to the movie Terminator.
Ah.
James Cameron's Terminator. And this is James Cameron's Terminator 2. And it came out in 1991. And it had a budget of $102 million, and it grossed $204 million. So that it did pretty well.
Yeah.
It did pretty well. I love this movie when I saw it as a kid. A little quick fact here is I saw this movie in a theater with my brother, and it was a pretty memorable moment because I think it's one of the first films that him and I saw together by ourselves.
Okay.
So it was kind of a brotherly bonding moment. And we both really loved the movie. Arnold's awesome in it. Linda Hamilton's buff in it.
Yeah.
I'm working out. We got to see Edward Furlong for like the first time. And
his storied career.
And his storied career, that's right. And he did that, Pet Sematary 2?
He's also a crow.
He is a crow. That is true.
And in more recent times, he gets me beef jerky at the convenience store.
Oh, yes.
And we get Robert Patrick as the T-1000.
Mm. Yes.
Robert Patrick, brother of Richard Patrick.
I was going to bring that up.
It's just a great movie. The special effects at the time were absolutely awesome. I just remember being amazed seeing it in the theater the first time. Guns N' Roses doing a soundtrack.
Yes, I remember the video.
That's right.
I still consider that the only other Terminator movie.
I agree with you. Yeah, because Terminator 3, that one's kind of not so good.
Yeah.
The Christian Bale Terminator movie, I actually kind of like that one, but it just kind of went, you kind of puttered out. It wasn't enough to like revive the whole series, and then the last one,
Genesis,
is just not very good either.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, they went like a totally different route with it, and just not good.
Yeah.
So, hopefully they can redirect that ship.
And rumor has it that James Cameron will be getting the rights back in about 2 years and is planning a full reboot.
Yeah, so maybe in 2 years we'll get another good Terminator film. Maybe The Rock can be the Terminator or somebody. Like that. I think it's better if they get like a no-name muscle guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's... Because, I mean, it's how Arnold was at the time.
Arnold was born to play that role, though.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't see a Terminator giving you know, John Connor the people's eye before he tries to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
So, that's just me.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I can see it.
You can see it?
Yeah.
He's just gonna do a little eye thing.
For the millions.
Yeah.
For the millions.
Yeah. He'll raise the eyebrow. I'll be back.
You are terminated.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you actually need a bodybuilder, though. That's the thing. He's a giant robot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you play the What If game, the original cast, it didn't work out, but the original cast for that role was supposed to be O.J. Simpson.
That's true. Mm. Yeah.
So.
Which, man, that would be
such
a different movie.
Yeah.
He would jump over luggage.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah.
He would not leave evidence.
Yes, exactly.
That might have seemed would have been a little bit different, too. I mean, the glove
Yeah.
Nothing fits.
So I'm going to quit. Oh, my.
I'm going to need you to take off your gloves and give them to me.
Just your gloves. Oh, my. Yes, so Terminator 2.
Great movie. Yep.
Yeah. All right. I think we're done.
All right.
I think, yeah.
I got some good sequels in there.
Yeah, we got some good sequels in there. I think pretty good summary of all of them. And
definitely.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Catch us at our website, www.allmyissues.com.
On Facebook, All of My Issues on Facebook, Twitter, @ All of My Issues.
Email us at allofmyissues@gmail.com.
All right. So, all right. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Later.
All right.